The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has come just in time from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, a word of welcome to all of you students, as well as your parents and staff and your families. Today we arrive at this gospel in which we hear very similar words throughout the entirety of Scripture. Increase our faith. So many times in the Bible we hear, "Increase our faith, Lord." But we also have the example of those who need to increase their faith, who receives faith from God but then leaves because they're unable to follow through with the responsibility which requires of us in faith. But what is faith? I think so often if we speak about faith, especially in this time and age, we would meet this hostility of, well, faith is just this hogwash, this concept that's in the Middle Ages. Right. What is faith? Why do we need faith? I have knowledge. There's science. There's always a conflict between faith and what we call reason. Reason being science, logic, intellect, the ability to know by facts. But our church teaches, the Catholic Church teaches, that faith and reason are not against each other, but rather they work together, and that faith surpasses reason. And we know this by the examples we hear from the Scriptures. So what is faith? I want you to bear with me in this analogy, in which you may have heard over the years. But imagine yourself getting to know somebody for the first time. Now, you spouses, or for those of you who are dating, or you're making friends for the very first time, what do? Or you kind of probe questions. You ask them, "What's your favorite color? What kind of food do you like? What sports do you like? Which team are you on?" The list goes on and on about these basic questions that you may have. But then at a certain point, you kind of move into this investigation phase, right? And especially in this time and age when we have technology, we have social media. We go into Google, we go into LinkedIn, we go onto Facebook, to Instagram, to whatever else, right? And we try to figure out who this person is. We try to have these facts and gathering who this person is, who their friends are, what they like, what they don't like, all these things. But there comes a point in that relationship, whether that's during the dating process or if that's when you're making friends, there comes a point in that process where what I want to call hearts exchange, where the hearts of those two people are exchanged. And what do I mean by that? I mean that at a certain point in that relationship, there's trust. That I don't have to prove every single thing that you say to believe that it's true. That I can hear this person out, have them pour themselves out to me, and I trust them. They speak an inner truth that we would never have or know of unless they spoke, speaking from the heart. We come to trust them and to love them and to hope for all things good for them. That's my hope, right? I hope that your friendships and your dating life is like that. But is it always? Not always. Not always perfect. Now apply that in the most perfect way to God. Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about facts about who God is, what God is. Yeah, if you want to talk about theology, I can spend hours and hours talking about high theology with you. In the church, we have this amazing man who you may have heard of, St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican friar or Dominican priest of the 13th century. And so in this time frame, there was a lot of questions about, well, let's try to understand who God is. Right? So they have all these questions of who God is, why God exists, so forth and so forth. And so he goes about questioning all these things about who God is to understand God. And he comes to a point where he says, okay, well, these are some of the reasons why God exists. There's proofs for God and his existence. And one of those proofs is the existence is the proof of perfection. Meaning that the world works in a way that's so perfect, so entwined, so intact, so linked and natural, that there has to be someone outside of it that created it. And he uses the example of a clockmaker, right? That how, when you open a clock, an old-fashioned clock, you see the intricacies of how it works, the mechanisms, the different metals and all that in there. And he says, there had to be somebody that put it together to make it the way it is, because it's so perfect. And he said, that's God. The world is so perfectly entwined, and it works so seamlessly that there must be a creator, and the creator is God. Yeah, so we can try to understand and see proof of who God is. But in the Old Testament, we see that God begins to reveal himself, right? First through Moses, through Abraham, the prophets, the patriarchs, on and on and on. But there comes a certain point within history, and we can pinpoint this to the year 0 AD, in which the Word speaks. And the Word is Jesus Christ himself. God incarnate speaks to us. You see where I'm going with this? When a person reveals to us something, they speak. Jesus, God, became man. He is a person. And he spoke to us. And in speaking to us, yeah, some walked away. Some were unable to take what he said. But many followed him. Because they came to see that understanding who he is by virtue of them traveling with him, living with him, eating with him, drinking with him, learning from him, seeing his miracles. But they came to love him, to trust him, to have faith in him. Like you almost use the word faith and trust simultaneously. To trust him because they believed that he was God, that he is God. In our relationships, we go beyond facts. We go beyond proofs of who our significant other is, who our friends are. We don't have a checkbox of, well, let me check that fact, what they said. I wonder if it's true. And so it too is with God in an analogous way, if you were to use analogy, that we go beyond the facts of who God in his details of what he does and what he doesn't do, who he is, who he isn't. We come to a point where we encounter God. We come to understand his love for us. And we come to trust him, to have faith in him. We say after the consecration, or I say, the mystery of faith. It is a mystery. How is it possible for us to understand who God is when he's our creator? He reveals to us that that God is Trinitarian. He's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. three persons in one God. He reveals to us that he became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He revealed to us that Mary was a virgin before, during, and after his birth. He reveals to us that he ascends to the right hand of the Father. He reveals to us that he comes from the Father, and that the Holy Spirit comes from he and the Father. And he reveals to us that unless we eat of his body and drink of his blood, we will not have eternal life. And he reveals to us that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now you may be thinking, oh, that sounds very familiar. That's the creed. That's what we believe. We profess it because we have faith that Jesus is God. And therefore, if Jesus is God, whatever he says is true. That's the logic of our faith. So when we hear about this rubbish about how us Catholics believe nonsense, how there's no logic to anything, that we must go with the times. No. We've received truth itself. And we profess that with great confidence and firmness. Because for 2,000 years, no other kingdom has outlasted the Catholic Church. No other kingdom has outlasted the reign of God. And we praise him at Easter, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Because truly, he is God. And so we gather today. We're about to enter into the sacrifice of the Mass in which Jesus gives of himself to us so that we can have life. Life abundantly, not in this life, but in the world to come when we die. Because that's where God wants us, to be able to be with him for eternity, where there is no suffering, where there is no pain, where there is no sorrows. But before that, we know that in our lives, we lack faith. Maybe our faith is trembling. Maybe we have doubts of who God is, if God exists or not. Maybe many of you have those doubts right now, sitting here. Does God really exist? I ask you to make an act of faith, a leap of trust, and to say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Because you, I know, are God. Increase my faith.